It boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling right. You ain't even got to get cage match out with the dope boys of the year and the ratings in the house. It's on the house.
Bars.
You already know what time it is. It boys in the takers, giving you your weekly dose of non-WWE and non-AEW wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hosts, Del Boy, Big Guap, you already know the vibes. I'm also joined by my co-host, Young Wolf, Young Sasuke, in the building.
Also, I would be hype, but yeah.
Also, English. Listen, just a disclaimer, viewers. I've been trying since the last Friday episode to be on my best behavior. I'm going to continue on this pursuit of happiness and being good because it's too much. But anyways, I digress. Also joined by, you might know him as Tamora, you might know him as the owner of CWH, you might know him as Tyson Ola. You definitely see him on wrestling's podcast. You definitely see him in Shoreditch, your bitch. You definitely catch him at Loading Bar this Sunday with the millions. And millions of women. What Ola in the building. How is the man I'm doing today?
Recovery. That's all I can say. Are you under the ocean, bro?
This Ola guy continues to embarrass us. Okay, we can't hear you.
Oh, I said I'm battered and bruised. I had a game yesterday, isn't it? So,
did you win?
Yeah, we won 2-0.
Okay.
Yes. Mr. 101, though. 2 chances, 1 goal.
Yeah, terrible.
All right, though. Final after Philadelphia.
How you excited for WrestleMania?
Bro, I can't put it into words, you know.
Try.
Bro, I can't. You know what it is? It's just one of those ones where, like, it's your childhood dreams coming true, man. Like, and I don't think I'll properly realize it till I get into the stadium and I'm there. Like,
no, I feel
like I could watch on TV, like, to actually be there. And The Rock, bro.
I bun The Rock, man.
I feel like it's gonna hit you once you land in Philly.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's how I felt. Once I landed in LA last year, granted, yeah. I was there like a day or two before everyone else.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
When I landed, I was like, oh shit. Like I'm actually here for Mania. Like it doesn't make any sense. But I mean, we're not here to talk about WWE.
Yeah.
Are you going to any indie shows whilst you're out there or any other non-WWE shows?
Are we gonna count ROH?
Yeah.
Hmm. Jim, if you're down, I think we should do a live stream if you're about.
Yeah.
When is it? That is next week Friday.
Yeah, I'm about.
Yeah, next week Friday.
I'm about.
I think we're now progress as well.
Let me double check my calendar to make sure I've not double checked myself. Because, you know, summer is coming. So, you know, man, I have to be outside, is it? I'm not double booked, so I'll be there. Yeah. But, progress is... Yeah, do you know what? I actually want to talk about progress later on as well. I want to talk about their card. I actually want to go through GCW's whole, the collective. For those that don't know, GCW collective is three, four-day set of events of... literally four-day events of different promotions coming together to do... their own shows with GCW. Progress is also a part of that. There's also TJPW. Joey Janela's got Spring Break. Josh Barnett has Bloodsport. I don't know if we mentioned it last week, but Shayna Baszler is going to be on Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Sold
out straight after that.
Yeah.
Which
should be really, really good. But yeah, before we head to... Well, before we get into that, let's quickly touch on TNA. Before we even speak about this week's episode, it was noted that Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, Mercy Machine Gun, their contracts are up April 1st. So they are going to, I mean, essentially they're going to be the biggest free agent team
out
there. What are your thoughts, guys?
I think it's what happened. Like, it's what happens when, you know, the new talent are coming in and you've got new management. Honestly, business aside, I'm not going to look at it from business aside. I'm going to look at it from, like, what they've done as a tag team. Even if the money was there for them to re-sign, I feel like they've done everything that they possibly can. I don't feel like they need to stay in TNA anymore. I feel like they came back at a time when TNA was at its lowest, wanted to work with the company to get it back to where it kind of is now. They've done that. They're one of the best tag teams TNA's ever had. I just think that money was probably an issue. I think that Scott D'Amore leaving had an impact on that as well. So I think now I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do moving forward, whether it's part-time / coaching or whether it's just still going full-time in a different company.
Boy, you see, with this one here...
This one's personal for you, isn't it?
This one is personal for me because I'm happy to see them kind of spread their wings and go. Granted, they've done it before, like, seen them at the...
Yeah.
I've seen some of them on New Japan and whatnot. But, bro, I can't help but think this is a domino effect of Scott D'Amore leaving them. I can't help but think that. Also, like you said earlier, they've achieved everything they can in TNA. So it's not like there's stones that have been left unturned or, you know, there's stuff that they haven't done that I still want to see. They've actually done everything. But like I said, I can't help but think that them leaving has got to do with the fact that the structure of TNA is changing.
Yeah.
Due to Scott D'Amore leaving. So I don't know, man. I'm happy for them that they'll float their wings, but same time, it's kind of disappointing as well.
I hear you. I mean, I will say this, that I definitely agree that Scott D'Amore leaving does play a part in Motor City Machine Guns leaving, but I do think that maybe more so from a financial standpoint.
Yeah.
Like you guys have mentioned, with Scott D'Amore leaving, there's been a change in the management structure. A lot of talent aren't getting offered full-time contracts anymore. They've now kind of like converted back to, you know, giving people per appearance contracts. Not a contract, but they're paying people per appearances. And that now leaves them to maybe use more of the money towards the bigger stars like the Mustafa Ali's and the Nick Nemeths, and maybe a lot of the mainstay people that have been there. They'll choose to either, you know what, I'm gonna stick with the per appearances, or I'm not gonna have it. And then once my contract is done, let's keep it moving. So, you know, like, I think it should be interesting. I do think that, I mean, most of Machine Guns have been doing indies for the past how many years now? They're still doing it till this day. They were, you know, their previous DPW champions. They're always on Beyond. They're about, do you know what I mean? I think it's just a matter of, can we see them potentially signing with AEW or signing with WWE?
Easily. But I think with
where do you think they go? Because we've seen Alex Shelley in WWE in the past. He done an appearance for the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Yeah.
And Motor City Machine Guns have turned up at AEW prior. They have wrestled at AEW. I can't remember the match. I think it might have been
with James. I think it was a six-man tag match.
I can't remember who was involved, but I know it was a six-man tag match. But yeah, like where do you see them going?
Let's just remember this number, yeah. AEW alongside staff. Yeah, no, because it gets me mad. Has 198 people on the roster. 198. These two will make 200. It's impossible. I'm sorry. And I know that AEW would probably be like the perfect fit. Like, it just makes sense. The perfect transition going from TNA to AEW just makes sense. But that tag team, their tag team division isn't bad, but I just don't know. It's like, I don't want to see it. Like, it makes sense to see it. It makes sense to happen, but I would rather watch those two go to WWE and work a bit of a more, I'll call it safer style. Like Del said, they've been doing this for years. They've been on the independent scene. They've wrestled a very quick pace, fast, rapid style. We've seen them in Japan as well. I'd like them to now just look after themselves and just... Now, what's funny?
Nothing, I'm listening.
What did I say? I said something mad, didn't it? See, it's him. It's him today. It's him today. Me and Del being serious.
You know what it is? I've kept quiet and I'm listening, so...
If I don't just...
Yeah.
Flog your head. Anyway. honestly, I'd want to see them in WWE. They could do main roster easily, or they could go to NXT. I don't mind. Either way, I'd like to see them in the E, for me personally.
Where I think they will go and where I want them to go are two different things. I think they will land themselves in AEW due to the fact that the more reduced schedule, the money is kind of a no-brainer for them. Where I want them to go is WWE, because that's where I've always wanted to see them. Now, whether that means... I mean, they're an experienced tag team, so if they were to go WWE, I don't see them being in NXT for too long. Maybe about 4 months. Maybe like four to six months. And then they'll be on the main roster.
I think they'd go to NXT just to coach and help the younger talent. I don't think it would be...
That as well, yeah.
I don't think it'd be a roster thing like, oh, we need you to work on your stuff to learn the WWE style or whatever. It's more coaching.
Of course not. But WWE is where I would want to see them. But predictable. But they'll probably land themselves in AEW.
What if they go back to New Japan?
New Japan is broke.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. The thing is, even like with this, with Impact, they could have still been working in New Japan. With AEW, they could possibly still, they'll still possibly be working in New Japan as well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm the opposite with you guys. I think I want to see them in AEW.
Fairs.
My only problem is that with AEW currently, it seems to be like, you know, they're ushering into like a new era. Depending on how this tag team tournament goes, will determine whether I want to see them in AEW or not. Like, it will determine whether where my heart is in terms of if that's what I genuinely want, because I feel like AEW's tag team division is, how do I describe it?
It's not terrible.
It's like a machine gun that was manufactured by a blind person. You know that this machine gun has the intent to kill somebody, but the person has manufactured it, because they can't see, they have forgot to put the chamber feasible bullets in. So I'll say that to say, yeah, it has the tools. It has the tools to be grandiose.
Epic, and I mean, yeah.
But the booking has K-Leg. The booking has K-Leg. Because really and truly, it seems to be dominated by two teams. FTR and the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
And there's only so much those two. Like, don't get me wrong, I love those two teams. FTR especially. But there's only so much pushing a division with just those two teams and not pushing other teams to be on the same spectrum as them. It doesn't do anything for the tag team division whatsoever.
I hear.
Because we have conversations like Proud and Powerful should have been champions at one point. Best Friends who have been long-tenured tag team haven't been champions. House of Black haven't been champions. Bro, the list, Private Party haven't been champions. Like, the list goes on and on and on. And don't get me wrong, I get it. The company's still a new company. And, you know, we should be able to give them grace. But at the same time, a lot of these tag team title runs, like, let's be real, the Acclaimed should have never gone tag team title runs. Over Best Friends, over Proud and Powerful. I'm sorry, what are we doing?
Hey, what happened to that tag team, though, that we saw on the first episode of Ring of Honor? And my man hit the alley-oop slap.
Oh, like, the infantry. Yeah, they're in the tournament.
They're in the tournament.
They beat House of Black to get into the tag team tournament. For me, yeah. I want the infantry. Jesus, what's all this? One for that. That's weird. Apple are moving mad. What was that? Fire for that, man. I don't even know what that is, but fire for that. But anyways, for me, I want the final to be Private Party versus the Infantry. These are two completely new teams that can be pushed. We can't say that, you know, nobody knows them because they're wrestling in front of the same crowd that Ring of Honor fans are there watching live. So you can't say nobody knows them. And listen, if Infantry are able to beat FTR, you're telling me the fans won't be intrigued by that. People love an underdog story. So yeah. But anyways, this isn't about AEW. Let's even quickly touch on TNA. How did you guys find the recent episode of TNA?
Dead.
Yeah, it was. You know what it was? I don't want to say dead. It was average. I think there's pieces you can take away from it. And
you can't. You can't.
This other guy, okay. What's wrong with
you? For example, we're now getting Jake something versus Ali.
Leon Slater's the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Leon
Seeing as you might don't want to say it,
bro.
I'll say it.
No.
Because I was expecting that to be the first thing that mentioned today. Episode. Nobody wants to mention, listen, Leon. You are the truth. TROOF. Truth. The truth.
Yeah.
Nah, absolutely. He did his thing though.
Bro, the crowd loved him.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't even think he had them at the beginning, but as the match went on, people were saying, you know what, this guy is, as you said, the truth. This guy is cold.
I want him to be the longest reigning X Division champion.
Bro, put the belt on him, man. Not now, because we just got Ali, but eventually, put the belt on him.
Hey, that match is going to be so sickening. That match will feed families, you know.
Absolutely.
Ali versus Leon Slater. Oh, you're taking the mic.
Absolutely.
See, TNA, if you do it properly, yeah, you got something special. But right now, you lot are joking. This episode was meaty.
The X Division's all right, though.
The X Division's good.
Like, the X Division's okay. The X Division's all right. I think it's more so the other parts of the card where you start to see the holes and you're like...
PCO.
I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that at some point. But
no, honest truth.
Gone.
Gone.
That wasn't that bad.
What, a PCO?
The PCO and Crazy Steve match.
I like bad. Crazy Steve in it, so.
I like PCO. I think PCO is a worker, fam. He's an absolute worker. Crazy Steve, he's all right. Yeah, all right, like he's just.
Good. I like Crazy Steve.
One thing I will say I didn't like,
Connor
was you said,
what the guy Connor or something.
No, I'm talking about I was about to talk about Moose and oh, the promo came to come.
Speak, no, speak, speak.
That was fucking speak. that was.
Terrible. What was that?
That was shizer.
What was that?
What was it he said? He said, you might have been the man you might have been the man and beating people, da, 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 but one thing you've never been able to beat is the system.
Then walked off, and then I said, is that it?
That just rubbed me the wrong way.
That was a bit.
That's smelly shit.
Yeah, that was.
They take the title off him, innit?
What do you think? And give it to Ziggler? Maybe.
I think it has to happen, man. I think that's why they're doing it so early, because I from the promo we got, which I knew was a Scott D'Amore thing, Ziggler was going to go through trials and tribulations to get to that title. I don't think we're going to get a title match anytime soon. I think Ziggler was going to go through so many different contenders before he got to Moose or the Inevitable World Champion.
Mm-hmm.
These men have probably come through and just be like, yeah, you see Moose, that's not our guy. Nick, we're paying him this amount of money. He's potentially our poster boy. We need to get our money back. We need to put the title on him. we need to get the title on him ASAP. So I think the title's gonna change hands. One thing I did like about this show as well was Chris Bay's performance.
Oh, in the exhibition thing.
Yeah, seeing Chris Bay solo again and what's his name? Ace Austin?
Yeah,
seeing them two run solo for a bit, I'm not mad at it if that's what's going to be or if that's the case or whatever they're doing. I'm not mad at it at all.
Yeah, I think it's definitely now's a good time for them to kind of like spread their wings and, you know, try to do some stuff for themselves, because I definitely feel like the TNA tag division needs an injection, and they've been carrying it on their back for so long.
Yeah.
That give them a break, man. Let GYV take that for now. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, we still need to insert tag teams into that division. So yeah, I'm not mad at it. Like Chris Bay is incredible. Ace Austin's incredible. A match I did like, the women's match. That was a good match.
It was all right, still.
That was a really, really good match, man. What's I can't lie to you. Tasha Steelz.
Tasha starting, yeah.
Over the few weeks that I've been watching TNA, it seems as though there's a level of improvement every time she gets in the ring.
Yeah, she's really good. Even the final sequence of the match as well was really cold as well. Like, I'm intrigued to kind of see. I'm intrigued to kind of see things moving forward, especially with people's contracts coming up. It was reported that Killer Kelly was leaving, but then that got debunked. I'm intrigued to kind of see where TNA is in the next 4 to 5 months in terms of like the talent that's there, storyline wise, the champions at the time. Should be really, 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 really interesting. Ash by Elegance.
Yeah, you look
convinced. Not to be deep, not to be. How do I say this? The blind man has a machine gun, but there's no barrels.
What's wrong with this guy?
There's no barrels. You can't put bullet inside it. So what does that make the gun? It makes the gun useless.
What less?
Okay. I understand the sentiment behind this character and whatnot. I think the character sucks. I'll be real. I like a finisher. Right. Her finisher's cold. But
I just don't think she wanted to come in and do the whole typical woman's wrestler thing. Do you know what I mean? I think she wanted to come in and have a something about her. But it's not working. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
I'm not convinced.
This was what, her third match? Fourth match?
Whatever number it is, I'm not impressed.
I'm not invested at all. I want better for her though.
Yeah.
I want better for her though because I genuinely feel like she has potential. And I'm always of the thinking that, okay, cool, if you've left WWE, you always want to make better for yourself and you always want to kind of like prove the doubters wrong. And, you know, at this point, I'm doubting. So, at this point, I'm doubting. Like, I have faith in her. I feel like she will shock me. I feel like she'll shock me, but...
I hope you're right.
I want her to shock me.
Because it is wiggity at the moment, boy.
I want her to shock me. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe she needs to, like, start doing, like, other indie bookings or...
That would help. Because,
yeah, I feel like sometimes if you're just relying on TV and... showing up weekly and you know there's not much that's going to be done with you.
I want to
see more from her. Like I think she's got the potential. Like when she first started in WWE, like I'm not say that I was a big fan, but I kind of saw the minerals. I kind of saw like, you know, okay, I see where this is going, I see where this could work, I can see, you know. But then as time went on, it's like, nah, this girl is toast. This one's not even brioche bun. This one is, I don't know, man. This is Tesco value bread, fam. Burnt toast. But yeah, then she went to NXT and I was like, okay, cool. Maybe she might cook. Maybe something. And then she left and then now she's here and I'm like, oh, the stove is on, the pot is on, but there's no water in the pan. So it's just oh, no. I mean, but I don't know. I'm intrigued to kind of see where TNA is in the next few months because I don't know. Not to say that since Scott D'Amore things have been on a downer since Scott D'Amore left.
It's been on a.
It's not even a gradual one. It's like this.
I'm dead. Man said like, you're stupid. Man said like, oh, you bought babes back. Just downwards, fam. Nah, I hear it, man. But yeah, we spoke about something that's going down. Let's speak about. I'm not gonna say that. Let's talk about something that's going on the trajectory.
Okay.
Something talking about trajectory. Oh god, I hate you niggas, man. I actually hate you niggas, man. Anyways,
we try every episode. I promise we try.
Guys, like I said, I'm behaving. It's not me. I'm behaving. Anyways, GCW, The Block is Hot. They had an event this weekend in Rochester, New York.
Mm.
Can't lie, Jem said he was impressed.
I was impressed still.
And as you guys have been listening to for the past few weeks, if you guys to see our Indie Takers group chat, sometimes I'll say the word GCW, these men just start laughing. And that's the problem with GCW.
I don't do that.
But this is the problem with GCW. It's like, for example, if someone was to give you a basket full of broken glass.
Now, what's going on with these analogies?
If someone let me cook. If someone was to give you a basket or a bucket with broken glass and they now say, go and find the VVS diamond. It will be hard, no? Because you might cut yourself. you might even see a pane of glass. That says, that looks like something I put in the grill. Yeah. But the minute you actually find that diamond, you're like, oh shit,
I got
a diamond.
Yeah.
You get me? And unfortunately, that's what GCW is. That's what GCW is.
It's not a bad analogy.
A bucket full of glass with some diamonds in it. And unfortunately, they use those glass for weapons as well. That's what we've learned. But they had their event called The Block is Hot. It was their debut show in Rochester, New York. And it was for a GCW show, it was a nice mix. Mm. It was a lot of graps and not that much like hardcore stuff,
which I liked.
Good. We'll quickly just go through the card real quick. First match was Cole Radrick versus Kevin Blackwood, which was a really, really fun match.
I'm invested in Blackwood. Pause.
Blackwood is really, really good.
Yeah.
God. You know what? If you didn't say pause,
I would have let it fly.
I would have let it fly.
I would have let it fly. We need to be better, man. Oh. Anyways, yeah, he said he's invested in Kevin Blackwood. It was a really, really fun match. Really, really fun match. Graps. Cole Radrick is really good. Kevin Blackwood, really good. Had some really cool spots. There was even one spot of Cole Radrick doing the five knuckle shuffle. There was one spot where they were just reversing each other's kicks. And even like just Cole Radrick's finishers. Like, it was just a fun match. You know, when you have two great workers like these two, you kind of know what to get. Next match we had is the Rich and Powerful, Charles Mason and Richard Holiday with Paro facing To Infinity and Beyond, Cheech and Colin Delaney. For those of you who used to watch WWE ECW, Colin Delaney is a veteran. If you guys remember that skinny jobber that used to get beaten up, that's Colin Delaney. Google Colin Delaney and you will know who he is straight away. He had the long hair, he had the red and black tights.
Oh, yes. I wanted his action figure.
Yeah, big up Colin Delaney, man. Another fun match. It was decent.
It was a while back, but it's the first time I've actually seen Richard Holiday in action since he recovered from cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So, for me, it was nice to actually see, because I've not seen him since. So, shout out to Richard Holiday.
When was the last match I saw him on? I mean, he's been on a few GCW shows. Last show I watched actively was the Rev Pro show. It was on that. It was in the match with Orange Cassidy.
It's a shame, because he before that situation, he was definitely, I would say, one to watch, like the next one up, like after MJF. Like, they had similarities.
They were in the faction together in MLW. Hammerstone and MJF. Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to him, he's still doing his thing, innit? Selfie, he's better.
Yeah, 100%, man. We had Nick Wayne versus Broski Jimmy.
I don't know why. I'm a big fan of Nick Wayne, but I just want him to wrestle now.
Do you know what it is? I can't lie. I feel like Nick Wayne has a long way to go, man. I'll be real. I'm not that invested in him, I'll be real.
I think you said it before, something. Listen.
I think he's got a lot of potential.
He's definitely got potential.
That's why on the opposite side of the table that we don't talk about, maybe that's why they've partnered him with various people to try and get that potential out of him. I don't know.
And another thing that annoys me, one thing I like in wrestling is continuity. Why are you a prick in AEW? You should have, like, true. Why are you now coming to AEW and the whole story is that you're trying to save Broski Jimmy from Zack Ryder? You're the one that needs to be saved from Christian.
It's true.
You're the one that needs saving.
Yeah.
This is the pot calling the kettle black.
Black.
Doesn't make any sense. But
I'm a big fan.
But this was a fun match. I'll be real. Steph Delanda. Amen. Big you up, man. Then we had Mance Warner versus Macro Man. I can't lie, this match is fucking sick. This match was fun. I can't lie to you. When Mance Warner brought out the tiny screwdriver, and then it was a fun match.
Bro, it's when my man tried to DDT him, and that's when I just said, forget it, man. I'm not watching this, bro. Do you know how, bro? So I'm not watching this, man.
Now, Microman is fucking over, though.
He is
fucking over. Big up, Microman. Then the next match we had was Marcus Mathers versus Ariel Van Gogh versus Facade versus Jay Lyon. This was a fun match. Just high flying action. loads of cool spots, loads of, you know, cool maneuvers. Marcus Mathers was, I think from when he came out, I knew, yeah, he's going to win the match easily. But yeah, it was a fun exhibition match. This is the match that I want to talk about. This, for me, is the match of the night. And I think this needs to be discussed because I feel like low-key, not that they're not doing enough, but they need to be taking advantage of their family situation right about now. We had Jacob Fatu and Zilla Fatu versus Gringo Loco and Oni El Bendito.
These men are not going to be around for too long. I'll be real on the indies. Yeah.
You've been calling this for a minute.
These men
are not going to be around for too long.
This match was brilliant. This match was fucking fun as hell.
Look at the language.
Jacob Fatu is in the shape of his life.
Oh, bro.
I see your tweet today. He looks incredible.
Bro,
this guy this guy looks good. Zilla is just a monster. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Gringo Loco. I'm a big fan of Oni El Bendito. So I was a bit, not that I was skeptical, I didn't know how this tandem would work in terms of like how this match would come together.
Mm.
But these men managed to pull it off and they left no crumbs at the table.
None.
I think it's time for Jacob to make the move, man. I think we need to look past and just, I don't know, like, there are men in the that sadly have records in it, have done things, have made mistakes in it, and they're there. I don't know why with Jacob it's something that's so difficult to look past, but maybe it's because of the prestigiousness of his family. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, maybe they don't want to mark the family with, I don't know. It's a weird one, man. But I think Jacob's been ready. Like, been ready. I mean, like, 2 years ago, been ready. Like, even before lockdown, ready. Booker T's working on it.
Allegedly,
Allegedly. So, hopefully he can make that move over, man. Do you not think he's, what, main roster? If he was to go, main roster or the X?
It's hard to answer because I don't want to see him in WWE yet. Don't get me wrong, I've been saying for time I want to see him in WWE. I feel like there's time for that. I think now what they need to do is take advantage of this whole bloodline thing and take it to every single show. Bro, they could easily say, listen, Roman sent me here. I'm coming. Roman sent me here.
Keep going.
You think the bloodline is just WWE? Nah, the line is blooding. We're everywhere.
Worldwide.
I'm here. GCW, give me that. GCW, give me that. Enjoy, give me that. Beyond, give me that. Progress, give me that. Yeah. Ref Pro, you keep that.
Maybe what if... what if they did do that, yeah?
No, I was going to say, I want Michael Oku to stay champion, innit? So.
I'd imagine, yeah, that a conversation would probably be had with, like, Triple H. And maybe Triple H does it as a thing, like, if you can make this work, if you can actually get the bloodline to work across all of these promotions, there's a definite spot for you when you're ready to make a change. Maybe it's like that challenge to see, like, what can you actually do if I actually give you a project to handle. But I hear it, though. But then this goes, I did watch the pod, shout out to the wrestling podcast. Ola did ask a question about the bloodline becoming like the next Bullet Club, but then you obviously gave your explanation as to why it wouldn't be. But for those that don't watch the pod or haven't watched the pod, can you explain why you feel like it'd be a different?
You can't get tired of a fucking family. That's as simple as that. Do you know what I mean? Like with the Bullet Club, with the Bullet Club, it's the title that supersedes the people within the team. Because regardless of whether people come in and out, the Bullet Club will always be Bullet Club. You can get tired of it, but the Bullet Club will remain the Bullet Club. It's up to you as an individual. Will you supersede Bullet Club for where it is, or for where it is currently, or will you just be lost in the shuffle of the Bullet Club? With being part of the Bloodline will, can continue for years and years and years and years, because this is real family. This is real people that can be, turn their family stuff into cha-ching money. And within being groomed within that Bloodline and being part of the Anoa'i, they can turn this story into anything. And this is something basically, like, even without the term the Bloodline, like, this is storied for years and years and years and years. This goes back to High Chief Maivia and the Anoa'i family. So it doesn't just, like, the Bloodline doesn't necessarily just start with Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, and Jimmy Uso. It's been way beyond that. It's only now that the where their story is at this point, it's just been given this Bloodline title. So as time goes on, when we think about the Bloodline, it will continue outside of Roman, outside of Jimmy, outside of Jey. Because now people are looking to it like, oh, this person's part of the Bloodline. Who's to say that independent company couldn't bank off the off a Bloodline feud? Or, you know what, you guys are part of the Bloodline, so let's give you some push and let's give you... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a money maker at the end of the day. And like all stories, and I think this is my favorite word, peaks and troughs. Every story will have its high and lows. Every story will have its resting moment. Every story will have its moment where it's just firing at you. So at some point, when the Bloodline stuff maybe kind of cools down, we can heat up into another story where it's like, oh, okay, cool. We can now resurface some sort of story within the Bloodline. So, I mean, we could easily see something of Jacob Fatu and Azila Fatu. Let's say if they weren't tag teaming, and maybe the story was, okay, cool. Zilla, Jacob Fatu is the guy. He's the guy when it comes to outside of Roman, outside of Jey, outside of Jimmy. When it comes to the Anoa'i family, Jacob Fatu is the person that I acknowledge him as my tribal chief.
Fair.
We could now implement some sort of story with Zilla saying, yo, I'm coming to try and take your spot. Jacob is basically telling him, bro, you just started this shit. I've been building this shit. You can't just come out of nowhere and try to do this. Zilla's using, listen, my dad's Umaga. Every time I give someone this thumb, they don't kick out. We get Zilla on the Reign of Terror of literally every time he's having matches. Once he gets this Samoan Spike in, it's done.
Bro.
It's done.
Storytelling.
Bro, there's so much that can be done. So much that can be done. It's like, listen, you're eating from my table. Like, bro, there's so much that can be said. You have your dad. Everyone else has their dad. I don't have my dad. I've had to build myself. I didn't have no Bloodline. The Bloodline forgot about. Like, bro, there's so much.
Del is giving me promotion.
I didn't have my pops. When I was in prison, none of you guys, of course, his family were obviously there for him. But, bro, just add Maggie to it. You guys weren't there for me. I was in the streets of Houston running amok and doing this, doing that. You guys weren't doing shit for me.
Dell is giving these promotions free stories.
Solo Sokoa, you're using my dad's finisher. That wasn't given to you. You know what? I'm going to go around and I'm going to prove to you guys that there's only one. Ala Samoa! And bro, listen. Bro, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm intrigued to kind of see how this whole family unit is in the next few years in terms of, like, will Jacob Fatu finally sign with WWE? Then what does that mean for Jimmy and Jey? How does Jacob Fatu fit in the mold? With the notoriety that Jacob Fatu's been getting, will that now maybe leave a stain on Roman? Would he feel a bit threatened? Because, boy, for years people have been saying, hey, if you want to see a real Samoan, the real head of the family is Jacob Fatu.
Mm.
But then Zilla now coming into the fold. How will Zilla fit in WWE? Again, his cousin is using his dad's finisher. His cousin is cosplaying as his dad. How can you be taking a role that should have been for me?
How dare you?
Cosplaying is crazy.
You act like my dad. You're barefoot like my dad. But when you was in the indies, you was breakdancing and doing what, like Jimmy and Jay copied your gimmick. So now you're copying my dad's gimmick? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Hey, storytelling, man.
But then who's to say that Jacob Fatu and Zilla might come into WWE and say, Roman, you've only been repping Samoa recently. But when you was part of the Shield, you were wearing contact lenses. You didn't want to, you weren't one of us. We're coming to show you what the real bloodline is. Bro, the stories are endless. Like, there's so much that can be done. Like, bro, it's so much. Jacob could even say, bro, you were busy covering Suffering Succotash promos. Now you're cutting promos like me. When people were booing you out of these stadiums and out of these arenas, who was there for you, giving you pointers?
Storytelling.
I was the one that was, bro, a lot can be done, man. Do you know what I mean?
they even got hit Roman Reigns with the, you don't even look comfortable in your own ends. Don't look comfortable.
Like I said, bro, seeing this whole thing, this whole bloodline thing, Zilla Fatu is Killmonger, fam.
Bro, even going back to that match, yeah, bro. There's one move that these man did, yeah.
The pop up Samoan spike. I'll lock off this thing now. Are you crazy?
In fact, it's the way that it's. Do you know what's mad? I like the fact that it's not like he just stood there and just done it. He jumped into it. Vim. Mm-hmm. Vim Nation. Vim Portland. Fam.
Nah, Jacob is in incredible shape, bro.
Bro, Jake, like, listen.
The shape he's in. But one thing I will say, the only thing that like took me away from this match, obviously it was a fun match, it was a good match, but the one thing that kept replaying in my mind was what you've been talking about. Like, GCW just can't decide what they want to be. And that's the most frustrating thing. Cause I did enjoy the show, to be honest with you. But
yeah.
I guess obviously now and then they can splash in a few hardcore matches, but it's that identity, man. Like, what are you? What are you trying to be? What is your space in here? Because it's like you started off doing the hardcore extreme like 90% of the time, and then it's now like we're getting graps, and then oh, you're still throwing in the hardcore distant, and then you're going back to graps. It's like, yeah, but
yeah. I think what their problem is that their main girl that is known for twerking, that everybody knows as the one with the big back, like you take this girl out and you know the minute she stands on that couch, she is twerking. But the issue is she just can't twerk. She's not only good at twerking, this girl can sing. Yeah. So when she gets on the mic, this girl is singing her ass off. But the problem is, you don't know whether you want this girl to be a singer or a twerker. So what you do is, you're making her sing, twerk. Abba! Calm down! Cool down. There's space for you. Because you said, your sister can also sing and twerk. So why don't your sister twerk and you sing? Or you twerk, or you sing and your sister twerk.
to use analogies.
Why must you be the one to do everything? I don't understand. What's the saying? Jack of all trade, master of none. And unfortunately, GCW is the master of none. Because I can't judge the hardcore stuff. I'm not into like deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah, same.
I'm not into deathmatch wrestling, so I barely see deathmatch wrestling in GCW that I'm like, oh, this is amazing. So yeah. You know, I'm assuming they'd probably be the best at deathmatch wrestling because they're the premier one, but yeah, it's so I'm above it. And then even sometimes a lot of the graps that they do, the graps is shit. If I put it in a buck, a lot of the graps is shit. Because I'm so sorry. You can't convince me that there's men that are known for deathmatch wrestling. You're going to stick them in a 20-minute match and expect me to watch it where there's no weapons involved. True. But you know that man, he's itching. His trigger finger is itching. Trigger finger's itching. You've put him in the arm drag, and all of a sudden, the psychology is gone. He's thinking, shit. Fam. He's there doing. And CTE starts flaring up like, fuck, I need to hit him with a chair. Sometimes you ask him to do a 20-minute technical brown burner. Oh, come on, man. I can't remember, was it SmackDown vs. Raw 2008? Where Sandman just hit yourself with a chair to draw blood so you can get resilience. Like, I don't know, but that's not to say that GCW haven't got a good product. I think they've got a good product. I think the problem is that Brett just wants to do everything. And he's got such a diverse roster that, which I don't think is necessarily a problem. I feel like you just have to be able to kind of like pace the show a bit differently and have segments. And I don't know. I just feel like, especially if you've got like your Jersey Championship Wrestling as well.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not it's not to the heights of GCW. But then Jersey Championship Wrestling, GCW started off as Jersey Championship Wrestling. So why not have that as the deathmatch angle?
Mm.
Or if not, but then again, a lot of the younger stars are working JCW. So then let JCW be the place where it's just purely graps. Like, I don't think you need to kind of like have to push GCW to the moon where it's everything just for the sheer fact that GCW is the name brand. You could easily make JCW just as big as GCW if the resources that you're putting into GCW to have the good graps, you put that into JCW, who's to say that JCW won't shine just as much? You know, like you own both brands. You could easily do it. So,
yeah. Nah, it makes sense.
You know, let's even quickly touch on GCW for WrestleMania weekend. So like we said, they've got their collective. So between April 4th and the 6th, they have a few shows. So their first show kicks off at Thursday, April 4th. They've got Defy Wrestling. And then after Defy Wrestling, they've got Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. And then after Bloodsport, they've got DDT.
And then the match graphics for DDT are so pang.
And then after that, they've got JCW. So basically, this is running from 11 a.m. till maybe about 2 a.m. in the morning.
Mad.
Which is for me. That's why last year I only went to Bloodsport. But and then the Friday, they've got Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling on at 11 a.m. Then they've got Progress Wrestling at 3 p.m. Joey Janela Spring Break at 7 p.m. And then For the Culture at 11:59. And that's one thing that annoyed me last year, because I wanted to go to For the Culture because Michael Oka was performing, but at the same time, why is it so late? And it was the same day as Wale Mania Wrestling.
I know
Wale Mania Wrestling, Nikita Lyons Wrestling, Jakara Wrestling.
Oh, I'm gonna see, baby.
Jade Cargill Wrestling, Naomi Wrestling.
Jada Parker.
I didn't see her, but... Oh, fuck. Carla, I've said to the man, if you see me come to Philly for 2 days only, just for Wale Mania, do not be shocked.
Please come. Don't be shocked.
But Saturday, April 6th, they've got Effie's Big Gay Brunch. And 2:30, they've got a card that needs to be announced. And then Joe Janela's Spring Break at 7 p.m., same time as WrestleMania. That's crazy. Yeah, 2:30, they've got a surprise show. But yeah, they've got a lot of shows. Is there anything that you guys are going to personally seek out for Mania Week? Any particular shows, maybe?
Honestly, I think more just the stuff that the E are involved in. I know obviously a lot of talent are going to be participating in Bloodsport. So I probably will watch that. I watched it last year. But I was there last year. Yeah, ooh. I mainly watched it because you lot were there. And I could see you lot on camera. I was like, I can see them. But I think Bloodsport, honestly, is the only show I'm really looking forward to checking out. It is nice to see Progress, a UK brand, being featured out there in the States. Global exposure.
Let me even pull up their card. Let me see if I can find some stuff on their card.
Now, that DDT graphic is so peng. Fam.
We'll post it on Discord. Oh, shit, I even forgot to say. So, whilst I'm looking for the Progress match cards, Alex Coughlin of Bullet Club mentioned that he's retiring from pro wrestling due to some niggling injuries.
Absolutely crazy. I didn't know it was that bad.
Neither did I. That cage match took an absolute toll on people.
Yeah.
It's always a shame when... Is he retiring because of injuries?
Yeah.
It's always a shame when you have wrestlers that have that. Like, the sky's the limit, do you know what I mean? And they're forced into retirement early. Always a shame. But I'm sure whatever he goes on to do, he'll be successful in it. Maybe he stays in wrestling as a manager, in a managerial role.
Coaching.
Maybe a backstage producer or a coach or something, do you know what I mean? You know, hopefully it would be nice to see him do that, but whatever he decides to do, I'm sure he'll be fine. But it's a shame to see him no longer wrestling.
Okay, so I can't find the full card, but I'll just go based on the cards I can find so far. So we have Rio versus Lana Austin for the Progress World Women's World Championship. Then we have Sanity versus Cheeky Little Buggers versus Sunshine Machine for the Progress World Tag Team Championship. We have Spike Treve versus Luke Jacobs. And then we have Session Moff Martina versus... Session Moff Martina and Gene Money versus Bussy. What else do we have? We have Ricky Knight Jr. versus Yochi for the Progress Atlas Championship.
I'll be there.
And we have Kid Lykos versus Man Black Darius for the Progress Men's World Championship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah, it's a good card. I don't know. I was in two minds. I was thinking, was I expecting maybe more, I say foreign talent, American talent to be featured? But then I realized, because it is a GCW show as well, it would make sense for them to showcase all their British stars. So yeah,
that's true.
I think that's a good shout. And who better than Bussy from GCW to be the ones to be on the card as well? So and also, what else has been in the news this week? United Japan Pro Wrestling, they are announcing their first joint event. Today, Tuesday, they're going to be announcing it today at some point. Do you guys have any ideas of what you guys think we're potentially going to be getting in terms of shows and stuff like that?
I'm not too familiar. So what is that?
So United Japan Pro Wrestling is a association of several Japanese promotions.
Okay.
So it is All Japan, Big Japan Pro Wrestling,
DDT, Dragon Gate,
Gambare, New Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah, TJPW, and Stardom.
So is it essentially like NWA? What NWA?
Think of it like NWA. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a means for them to kind of like exchange talent, do events together, and just share resources with each other as well. So yeah. Japanese wrestling is in the mud right now. So I think this is a good means to kind of like build morale in regard, like not just for the talent, but for like Japanese wrestling fans as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We speak about the Forbidden Door in regards to AEW and New Japan, that, you know, there's no real dream matches to be had. But, I mean, up and down the card, up and down the promotions in Japan, there's tons of matches that haven't been had. There's tons of stories that could be told. So I think an association like this is definitely important.
Yeah, definitely.
And you man know me, man. I'm all about fostering partnerships, man. I love partnerships, man. I love, you know, companies coming together and, you know, new stories, new matchups, new possibilities, new everything. So, you know, it should be really, 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 really interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to be negative. What's the word? Negative Nancy or whatever. But you know the multi-man matches are coming, isn't it?
Bro, 20 man tag matches are unbelievable.
20 man tag match. Five from.
I can't be bothered, man.
That's my only thing, innit? But like I said, I'm with Dell on the whole fostering partnerships and
it makes sense.
Wrestling kind of needed it at the moment because boy. The landscape is looking. Granted, there's still a lot of talented wrestlers, and there's still wrestlers that still need to be discovered. Do you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
It's good. We'll just see what comes of it, I suppose.
Do you feel like there needs to be more like group associations in regards to like different wrestling companies? Not even necessarily just like obviously we've got UJPW now. Do you feel like there needs to be more associations within maybe like independent companies and other companies coming together in order to, again, share resources, do events with each other, talent exchanging, help building of storylines and things of that nature?
I think, when it makes sense,
I feel like it's always going to be beneficial. It's more so whether companies are willing to work with each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing for me.
Yeah, I think it just has to make sense. And I think it depends on what you're trying to get out of the other companies as well, which will be pivotal to things like that happening. In the back of my mind, I have been thinking about like another NWA happening. Maybe America needs it. Because a lot of the companies now in America are getting just raided by AEW or WWE, likewise with Japan. But does a deal like this protect Japanese wrestlers from being poached, or is it still a question of like you can still be poached?
Doesn't protect them.
No.
I don't think it's necessarily like. People would potentially maybe say like this is probably meant to be in place of protecting people. Mm. But if, like, for example, like let's say we have our association between us three, our three companies are within that. Let's say, for example, Ola has a partnership with a major company, and you know, Ola's doing talent exchange with that major company, if that a major company now decides that you want to sign that talent, it's that talent's prerogative. I don't think Ola is in the means of stopping it. I think it's just more so of what can we, us three, do to further each other and further the products that we have now, as opposed to thinking about, okay, cool, us three are now trying to do as much as we can. Because obviously, ideally, you want to be able to do as much as you can to protect the roster that you have, depending on the type of contract that you have. But at the same time, I think it's just more so, okay, cool, we've got this partner, we've got this partnership, so we know that if there's maybe a pay-per-view, if there's maybe an event, if there's maybe, if I've got like a young talent that I want to send over to your company, I know that's covered, vice versa. If there's, you know, if maybe I've got talent here that's ill and I need a match done, talent's ill, maybe I can chat to Ola's company or chat to Gem's company. They've got a big star that I can potentially get in, and I know that it's not going to be any issue. So, I mean, I feel like we're not that we're seeing it now, but we're seeing the likes of a Defy and a Progress partnering up with each other. I feel like maybe behind the scenes, because a lot of these promoters are probably cool with each other, they're friends with each other, there's no like official handshake or official contract signing of, yeah, we're partners or we're going to be working with each other. But I genuinely feel like more companies should, like, I don't know, maybe create some sort of like conglomerate of a association where, you know what, we're all partnered up with each other one way or the other, and this is just more so to help further wrestling, help further each other. And yeah, I feel more people need to look into it, you know.
Yeah,
because it's not like this new, this UJPW thing is a new phenomenon. We mentioned NWA. You know, I know Misawa had something back in the day called the GPWA that was with like a few American companies. I think Ring of Honor was part of it as well. A few American companies, a few Japanese companies. New Japan is also part of another Asia Pacific one where it's got like Chinese wrestling companies, Japanese wrestling companies. So, and this is just a means for, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. And I feel like more people need to look into it. So, you know. Hey man, I know Ola has his one with CWH, you know, with all the Japanese Joshi wrestlers. So.
Yeah, CWH and wrestling. We need to get more. You know what it is? We want to give more black wrestlers an opportunity.
You said it on the podcast. You said it.
Yeah, we want to give more black wrestlers an opportunity in Japan to become champion and, you know, kind of spread their wings and, you know, do more. Outside of, you know, America and the UK.
If I told this nigga to expose his roster list, he'll say I'm mad. Expose your... Go on, tell me your roster list. Fucking idiot. Fucking idiot. But, yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Nah, no good.
WrestleMania tickets.
This is the wrong podcast. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant WrestleMania.
No.
I was gonna say wrong podcast, nigga. You guys got to tune into the E to figure out how to buy WrestleMania tickets. But yeah, like what I was just about to say, WrestleMania watch party. Please make sure you grab your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're flying. It's going to be a good night. You know, we're gonna try and sort out some quizzes and, you know, WB2K
giveaways.
Giveaways. Loading bar, they've said that they've bought some Terra Mana. So you guys can take shots of the mana. You feel me? What else? Basement Grooves this weekend, this Sunday. You guys grab your tickets. It's I can't lie, it's looking to
it's
be the
gonna be crazy.
It's looking to be
crazy.
It's looking to be the maddest one. Tickets are genuinely nearly sold out. There's probably like 10 tickets left, if that. Yeah. And I know Gem and Ola. Gem and Ola are gonna be buying babies drinks at the bar. So yeah, make sure you get
what?
Because if I say what you're really gonna do, you'll say I'm a bad friend. So
is that what? Cool.
What's that thing on WB2K? It's what's that move? Oh, carry position. Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, fine.
I didn't want to bait you out. You said it yourself. I didn't want to bait you out, but yeah, make sure you guys grab your Basement Groove tickets. Also check the bio for other stuff, like, you know, check our WWE affiliate store, grab some merch. Also have Rafe partnership, Rafe drinks, Wrestling's 10. Make sure you grab your drinks. Make sure you check out CWH.
Yeah.
Killing it. Make sure you check Wolf Gaming as well. Yeah, the man that my cooking, man. Like, you know, we've got a lot of stuff that we're doing. And even outside of wrestling, just support the man. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, man. It's been free.
Good.
Yeah, it's free, man. It's free to support the man. You feel me? And, you know, if you're a black woman, please create yourself, because Ola won't do it. You see? I don't want to do it. Hey, man, I've been dope, boy.
Young Wolf.
Trimmy lies, Ola, fam.
This dickhead.
You said what?
Don't mind me. This guy's dumb. Indie takers out.